Swipe Sense solves one of the core challenges that we have in healthcare today. At a macro level, these are called hospital errors. These are mistakes that healthcare workers make. Obviously, everybody has the best intentions, but things happen in hospitals. Now, one of those specific examples of errors is called hospital-acquired infections. These are the bugs that people get after they're admitted into a hospital. So, Steve, picture this. I mean, you go to the hospital and, you know, you're, God forbid, you're going to have an operation. And there's the pre-op place. You have the operation. You're in the med-surg unit. You're getting better. And something completely unrelated to the surgery that you're about to get, you get an infection and you have to stay for another week. And that could be life-threatening. This actually is such a big problem that approximately 100,000 patients lose their lives in the United States alone because of these bugs. Now, we know the number one way of defending against these infections, these particular errors in healthcare, and it's better hand hygiene. This is one of the cardinal rules of delivering healthcare. You have to wash your hands before and after you touch a patient. Now, unfortunately, hospitals measure this using mostly pen and paper these days. You have a nurse sitting in the corner of a hallway, and they're checking boxes if people did their jobs. Our product, our system, basically takes the guesswork out of this. We have a system that measures hand hygiene compliance in real time and a number of interventions for hospitals to actually change behavior of their healthcare workers. For most importantly, they save lives, they have better health outcomes, but also they save billions of dollars because of all of the penalties that are avoided for having these high infection rates.
How are you figuring this out? Is there a set of eyes? Is there a camera? Is there artificial intelligence, a sensor? How do you measure this?
It's an Internet of Things mesh network. You know, this is a field that's actually grown quite intensely in the fields of manufacturing, airfare. Now we're seeing Disney do a big move on this. It's basically connected devices. You can think of our system as a network of sensors that are placed around the hospital. Everybody gets a smart badge, and this badge measures where you are at any given time and whether you've actually washed your hands or not. So we extrapolate your room entry data from this large set of signal information, and we determine whether you wash your hands when you were supposed to wash your hands.
It reminds me, when I saw the product and saw your company and started doing research, it reminded me immediately of when I did a nuclear drill with the State Department of Emergency Management, and we had these badges that said, you've been infected with nuclear radiation.
Landauer does that, actually, so a Chicago company.
Yeah, so it's sort of the same thing, right? Same idea.
It's sort of the same thing, except it's for hand hygiene. You hit the nail on the head. This is a way for folks to ultimately measure their performance as healthcare workers and fundamentally for the hospital to deliver better care for their patients in the avenue of hand hygiene.
Does it beep at you when you don't do the right thing? Does it send an alert to the nurse's desk? Does it just stop you from moving?
What? I have a somewhat of a contrarian belief in this space. There's plenty of companies that are working to do what we're working on, and this is a hot source of topic. Is there an alert? Is there something that reminds people? I always ask myself, if Apple were to design a hand hygiene intervention system, would they really put a beep or buzzer or some sort of a alert that says, wash your hands, you know?
Yeah.
The reality of the matter is you're talking about people's behavior change. And if it were as easy as reminding someone to say, hey, wash your hands, this problem would not exist in the first place. When we go into hospitals, the beginning hand hygiene compliance is approximately 30-35%, which means that if you want to get to 90, which is your goal, 95% compliance, you have to do three times more of what you're currently doing. This isn't a simple problem of like, let me remind you and you'll do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
That, I would say, is an intervention in the last mile. You're going from 85% to 90%. Yeah, maybe you need a reminder here and there. But we're talking about a fundamental change in culture and a fundamental change in behavior. And no, we don't have alerts. We look at long-term behavior change rather than short-term interventions.
So 33% compliance, that means you got 67%
yes.
Non-compliance.
Yes.
Those are people, doctors, nurses, not washing their hands.
Correct.
I'm having a hard time understanding why they don't do this.
Plenty of reasons, actually. I mean, the easy, I think, shortcut of an answer, which is the incorrect answer, is looking at this problem and simply saying, oh, people just don't care. You know, this is, you know, why they should just do a better job. It's actually not that. Think of it in this way. If I asked you in a large group of folks in a room and I said, how many of you guys believe you're above average drivers? Everybody would raise their hand. Because reality, people think they're pretty good drivers. This is the problem that we're dealing with. The fact is half those people are wrong, right? Half those people should not have raised their hands, but they think that they should raise their hands. This is the basic problem in healthcare. You have hospitals that report hand hygiene compliance rates using pen and paper as an observation tool of, you know, we're at 99% hand hygiene compliance. So people think, well, I'm doing a fine job, so why should I change? You introduce a proper measurement tool like SwipeSense, and suddenly the reality is a lot different. It's as if you've been trying to lose weight by going to the gym, and your scale in the morning tells you that you're perfect weight. Okay, all we should do first is properly give you a proper scale in the first place.
1.7 million acquired infections every year at the hospital is what your research finds and other research as well. That's a lot, and we're getting into really serious, dangerous territory because some of these infections are those kind that are hard to treat, sometimes impossible to treat.
Absolutely. So, especially for patients that are in the ICU that are already in a critical condition.
So the guy who was, you know, you have the paranoid guy who lives on your street who says, oh, I'm not going to the hospital because I'll die. There's a little truth to that.
No question about it. I mean, first and foremost, I mean, I love hospitals. I think there are places where quite literally miracles happen. And I've come to love the industry so much. I mean, I'm planning on being a part of this world for a long time now. But I've really come to appreciate that with the world of healthcare and the world of hospitals. But the reality of the matter is, unless you have to be there, you probably should stay out of a hospital. It's a dangerous place to be in.
I saw a couple of recent documentaries that sort of had science fiction, high-end solves to these problems. One of them involved putting copper everywhere because the copper kills infections. The other is a pretty good argument, too, is that as we get more into artificial intelligence and robots actually working and doing jobs, that this may be a problem that will go away when robots are in charge. Yes,
true. I think those two are very fine interventions. I mean, I'll comment on them specifically.
Sure.
The copper idea is a fairly good one. However, it's kind of obvious even for a layperson to realize you can't literally build a hospital out of copper. So there's only so many surfaces that you can cover with, you know, perhaps door handles, perhaps railings on beds. I mean, these are good interventions, and hospitals should likely engage in these. But a hospital is huge. You can't have floors, walls, light switches, everything made out of copper. It kind of doesn't work. So that's, you know, the problem with the first idea. The second one, sort of robots taking over healthcare, I guess in principle, this would resolve this issue, but the reality is we're decades away, even for the basic interventions to be done by computers, let alone complicated surgeries and long-term patient care that occurs in our hospitals. This is true. A machine would always remember. A machine would always wash its hands because it's programmed to do so. Mm-hmm. But the idea that we should wait for machines to take over healthcare until we resolve this problem is, I think, perhaps a little too late to solve this problem when we have the tools right now.
So you build your product as the complete hand hygiene solution. What success are you having? What are you seeing in terms of those rates going up or down or improving?
I've answered this question in two metrics. These are the numbers that we look at as a company. A, what has been our impact in hand hygiene rates? Can we actually change behavior? But most importantly, what happens to the infection rates in hospitals? I mean, this is sort of our outcome if we're successful in the hospital. And I'm very pleased to tell you, the first number, within 6 months, we'll double your hand hygiene rates. It's as simple as that. It really depends on where you're starting from in terms of your hand hygiene compliance. But if you look at the cumulative average, we can commit to 100% improvement within half a year, which is a significant jump considering most hospitals think that they're at 95, 99% compliance when they're starting off. The second one is I'm also very pleased to tell you that we have seen infection rates in some of our hospitals upwards of 67%. This means that as a business, we have saved our first lives. I mean, this is something that motivates me greatly because this was the original why of the company. This is what got out of the bed in the morning when my co-founder and I left school and we were looking at, okay, what should be next? What's the biggest idea that we can get behind? I mean, 100,000 people losing their lives because of infection rates is a moral obscenity. It is a crime against humanity. And we looked at this problem and said it's not acceptable in this day and age for people to be losing their lives in hospitals because of something as simple as hand hygiene.
In the first world.
Anywhere in the planet. So we have been able to reduce infection rates. We have been able to increase hand hygiene. And I'm extremely proud of that.
You know, doctors and nurses are very serious about this. They, even if they don't have that compliance, they know what the problem is. They know how to fix it. They know they would fix it tomorrow if they could. But unfortunately, I bet you have to deal with a lot of bean counters at hospitals, and it's a cost-benefit thing. What challenges do you have in that area?
Well, first and foremost, hospitals are large institutions. And even if you were selling chewing gum to a large institution, you have to think of it in a systems matter. Now, hospitals do have bean counters. What's working greatly towards their advantage is that infections cost a ton of money. And those bean counters actually really like SwipeSense because of the changes that we've been able to create within the hospitals themselves.
The cost being the lawsuits, the cost of fixing the problems.
That number sort of avenues. One, lawsuits. Two, the cost of treating the infection that happens in the first place. Three, bundled payments. Now you're getting paid for performance and not paid for service. Four, and most importantly, this is the easiest one to actually measure. Right now, 758 hospitals out of the 5,600 in the U.S. just last year lost 1% of their Medicare reimbursements because of high hospital-acquired condition rates. I mean, this is 1% of revenues from Medicare, the largest insurer in the country. I mean, if you tell that to a bean counter, you can see the color of their eyes literally change.
That'll bring a reaction almost immediately.
Oh, my goodness. It's clear.
So let me ask you this. Did you wake up one morning and say, I want to fight infections? How did you come up? How did you know that this is what you wanted to do?
I went to the engineering school at Northwestern University, McCormick School of Engineering, and I met my co-founder there while I was still a student. His name is Yuri Molina, brother from another mother, great dude. He and I started a group called Design for America while we were still students at Northwestern. Design for America is a simple premise. You get students from different backgrounds, give them a big, nasty challenge, and they have to use human-centered design to solve it. Has to be local, has to use design. And we believe that this interdisciplinary approach really was a unique perspective to most of the problems that happened in the world. I mean, this could be something as simple as how do we teach a child to better manage their diabetes, mm-hmm. or how do we do better disaster response in a hurricane in New Orleans. Hand hygiene and hospital-acquired infections was simply one of those problems. Now, Design for America grew. It grew from the three students and the one professor that started the whole thing to now over 5,000 students over 38 campuses. I'm extremely, extremely happy to see that organization flourish and grow. But what I took away, what I inherited from Design for America, was this grand quest. And the grand quest that we chose to fix, was hand hygiene in hospitals. Mm. I mean, it became very clear. It was one of the early projects, and we worked on it, and you know, we came up with a prototype of an idea. And right before we graduated, I was so excited as a young student, and I felt like, oh my God, I have this great idea. I'm going to tell it to everyone. And I was describing to a friend of mine. I said, I have this idea. Hand hygiene is a huge problem. 100,000 people die every year. Can you believe this? And this person asked me, well, okay, how many lives have you guys saved so far? And this was like a slap in the face. Mm-hmm. This was like, well, it's a prototype. We haven't really done anything yet. And he simply asked, well, what good is your idea if you haven't actually made it into the real world? And this was a big moment of maturing moment for me as an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. I think before that I was simply someone who liked the idea of a startup, but never the actual pain, never the actual hustle of what it takes to make an idea real. And that was the moment where I decided this has to be a reality and we're going to take this as one of our life's goals.
It strikes me, just your passion coming across here in this interview, that even a SwipeSense saved one life, you would be happy with that.
For me, one life matters. One life is a grand accomplishment. But the task we have accomplished, set aside for ourselves is ending infections.
Yeah.
And even beyond that, ending medical errors in the first place. Any life is equally valuable. And, it's sort of a thankless job. Someone whose life you saved, it's not like they have a life-threatening disease and you give them a pill and they're better now. These are infections that are avoided. So it's kind of a thankless place to be. But we know in our heart of hearts, from the hospital that we're in, we see their infection rates. They're going down. And as a result, lives are being saved. That's, again... It makes me jump up in the air every morning.
You talk about Design for America, and this is not just something that's locally. This is caught on a global scale where we now have this notion of moonshot. Let's attack cancer with a moonshot.
Absolutely.
Let's do this. These ideas where you get all of these interdisciplinary ideas together and people together to solve a big problem. Did you think it would expand to that level? Because you really were there before the moonshot idea people.
I simply followed what interested me. I have an incredible amount of faith in the passion and the energy of young people committed to save this world. I mean, in every sense of the world, you now have a culture of entrepreneurship. And this is everywhere from the Valley to the East Coast, where people look at startups and they ask, well, what is the impact that you're creating in the world? What good does this do? Because a yogurt delivery app is a sweet app. I mean, I would love to have a yogurt delivery app, a fresh yogurt
by drone,
everybody.
Perhaps.
By a drone. I mean, this is a sweet idea. But in reality, the world will be fine without a drone delivering yogurt to your doorstep. Tell me about the big wrong in the world that deserves to be righted. This attracts people to fight and die for your company, the best talent that you can possibly hire, the best capital that you can fund, because fundamentally these people are backing fixing this large problem, and fundamentally giant business opportunities, because the bigger the problem, the higher the return. That's something that excites me, that attracts me, and it's simply, I'm simply an example of what my generation is already doing in the rest of the world. I simply had the, you know, had the audacity to follow the heart sooner.
What was it about getting this started in the Midwest that helped or hurt or hindered or made things better for your company?
A couple of things. I mean, first and foremost, you're tapping into a great pool of talent. This is Northwestern, University of Chicago, IIT, UIC Urbana-Champaign. You're looking at deep engineering technology institutions. I guess UChicago doesn't have an engineering school, but we still love them. It's all good. You're looking at brilliant folks whom previously would look at the coast as sort of, oh, wait, that's where I graduate to. Where in the last decade or so, people simply realized giant opportunities could be built right here. But the second thing is, Chicago is a city with broad shoulders. There's something that I've now found in almost every entrepreneur that I meet who's sort of bred in this environment. And there's, you know, very few people who say this better than Troy Hennikoff, the leader of Techstars Chicago. You almost have this personality of grit and determination. Mm-hmm. That's exemplified by the simple fact that it's really cold up in here. I mean, when people say, oh, you're from Chicago, it must be cold. Well, okay, thank you. First of all, I had no idea for reminding me that it was cold. It is cold. But you know what? We survive. We look at it in the eye, and we have grit, zest, and broad shoulders to go at the cold, and we don't care. This is something that I think startups take pride in terms of their hustle in living in Chicago and the Midwest.
We sometimes hear the sports analogy. We're a city of Grabowskis, where we go in and we get the job done and we don't brag about it. And
absolutely.
You know, we just want to succeed. And I have to play referee because we love the people at University of Chicago. They have found planets.
Oh, my goodness.
So we have to give them a couple of points for finding planets.
I love your Chicago. I hire a lot of people from there.
Let me ask you what's next, because I think I kind of know where you're going with this. You want to solve the infection problem, but I kind of heard in there that medical errors in general, how do you expand and what's the future hold for your company?
There's a brilliant surgeon who actually is a writer for The New Yorker, wrote a bunch of books about the subject, named Atul Gawande. He's sort of like one of my people that he's in my list of folks I would invite over for dinner if I could invite over everybody. Abe Lincoln is another one of those folks. Atul Gawande writes about medical errors, and he qualifies them into two boxes. The first box is in ignorant mistakes. I mean, these are things that, hey, we just don't know how to cure cancer. You have this disease, it's really bad, and you know, we're just going to have to go at it until we know what the right thing to do is. But the second kinds of mistakes are inept mistakes. These are the medical errors I'm talking about. These are the things
I amputated the wrong leg.
I amputated the wrong leg.
I left a sponge in somebody's stomach.
Can you believe this happens in 2016?
No.
These are $1 trillion, 20% of our GDP is healthcare, and we still amputate the wrong leg. I mean, it's unbelievable that this happens. I view it as simply we don't have enough technology. We have had this zero error mentality in amusement parks now, in airlines. And look, even in an emergency landing in Fargo, it's national news now because of how rare it is.
Right, right.
I mean, we lose an airplane load of people every single day because of these infections. And we simply have learned to treat it as cost of doing business. So my prerogative, my perspective is this. By having an intelligent hospital, by having connected devices in the hospital industry that generate data on every step of the patient care continuum, we can do a better job. My goal is to make healthcare workers almost give them a superpower to really understand what happens to their patients and allow them to make better decisions as a result of it. Hand hygiene and hospital-acquired infections happens to be the first problem that we solve. But my eyes are set on eradicating hospital, you know, errors in the first place. So when you go to a hospital, you get better, as you should.
You've got your work cut out for you. Best of luck, because as somebody who might need a hospital someday, we're counting on you.
I appreciate that. I certainly am doing it for not just you, not just for me, but for everyone in the world.
We appreciate it. Thank you.